something that's very interesting to me and having done my research. So I'll preface this talk with how this actual topic came up, because it's a kind of an interesting story, and I think it relates to all of us somewhat. About a year and a half ago, I was at the Athletic Trainer Educators Conference, and one of the speakers got up and she was talking about how she does the preceptor training. And one of the things she talked about was that she educates all the preceptors about the current student generation. And my first thought, and I went up and asked her about this afterwards, I said, what was the feedback when you give them this talk about how to understand the current students? And I was somewhat cynical, and I thought if she would, they were quite cynical as well. And she said, no, they loved it. It was like this overwhelming, response. And so I started thinking about that, and I talked to our program director, and I said, would you mind if when we do our retraining this summer, if I include something like that? I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And so we did that with each of our preceptor groups. And then Bob Marley was in one of the groups, and he said, hey, would you mind coming and talking about this at the Sports Medicine Update next year? As you know, if Bob Marley asks you to do something, if you ever want to work in this town again, you say yes. And so I presented this, and I actually had a lot of fun with it. I'm not an expert in it, but I did the research to develop this, and I learned a lot out of it, and I actually have a new view of many of the generations that we're talking about. So what are these generations? Well, they're a group of people in a similar age group with different likes, different dislikes, different attitudes, who've had collective experiences as a group. Okay, and that gives them, that generation, a certain set of ideals that they believe in that may differ from other groups. Okay, so you can picture generations as descending or ascending family members. You can think of different individuals in a generation, but they have similar ideals. Okay, so in America, we have the living generation, or the six different generations that are currently living. We have the greatest generation, those born up to 1926. Okay? We have the matures, or the silence, anybody born up to 1945. And since it's after lunch, and I know everybody's getting tired, so raise your hand. We'll have a little audience participation. Anybody in the greatest or the mature silent generation? All right, the next one, we'll probably have a few. Any baby boomers in the group? All right. Any Generation X, this is my disclaimer. I am a Generation X, so a few of those. Any Gen Y, or what we know more collectively as millennials, and you will see a trend here. No booing. And then do we have any Gen Zs in the house? Okay, a few. So clearly, the millennials are running the show in here. So, most generations have some type of stereotype assigned to them, but never to themselves. They're always assigned by other generations. So if you look at this, we'll have positive assumptions and negative assumptions. So for example, baby boomers, they're loyal, they're optimistic, ruthless pursuit of success. Baby boomers, you agree, right? Well, you're also being called cranky, you hate change, you tend to micromanage others, but you're very work-centered. My group, we're independent, self-sufficient Gen Xers, search for job advancement, but we hate everything and everyone, we're cynical, depressed, no loyalty, and no team membership. We're poor team members. Millennials, very, very social, they're very good with technology, but they're also entitled, lazy, needy, self-centered, narcissistic, and difficult with criticism. And then you have Gen Z, which are pretty much millennials in the same factor, okay? And I'll give my sources, so I know the stares are coming from the millennials, but I will give you my sources where this information came from. All right? So, I'm going to drop this out. We'll have a little bit of, again, audience participation if you haven't seen this as a preceptor of ours. Who said this? I'll let you read that. So that sounds obviously like what we will sometimes say about other generations. Anybody want to take a stab? If you haven't had to see my presentation before, throw out a name who you think might have said that. Say it. Somebody say loud. Oh, you know this before.
No, I don't.
It's attributed to Socrates. So if you were thinking, this is 50 years ago, no, it's actually eons ago almost, it seems like. Okay, but attributed to Socrates by Plato. But you can see what they're saying about the younger generation, even, literally 1,000 or more years ago. So let's go a little more recent. Who said this? Read that and I'll ask you who you think might have said that. A little more recent than what our last one was. I know you're all thinking of the current younger group, so. Anybody want to take a stab at who said this?
Churchill,
okay, anybody else? It's kind of a trick question, because it was attributed to Peter the Hermit in 1274 AD, okay? So nothing that I'm saying today is new, and nothing that you're hearing about the current younger generation of students is new. It's been said for literally thousands of years. Well, if we look at the overall aspect of this generational mindset, what does the science say? Okay, a lot of this stuff comes from surveys. There's not a lot of hard research data that's out there from true scientific experimental or experiential data. But there's a lot of survey work, especially in business, because business really wants to know what is the current generation doing from a money-making aspect. So there's a lot of surveys associated with this data, and that's where a lot of my resources come from. And a lot of it, again, comes from the business world, but we can apply it to all kinds of different settings. There is no real generational work difference in work ethic between generations. Researchers found no practical generation differences in work ethic, job values, or gender beliefs in a national sample of 2,500 blue-collar workers, which led the researchers to conclude that basically the current mindset of millennials, because you'll hear that term a lot, which is Generation Y, that millennials don't want to do work is not really true when it comes to the actual data versus the arbitrary, well, I've seen this happen in my workplace, this is what I believe, okay? So that's something it's important to understand. But this is what something I like to do. I want to know, what are we doing to contribute to this? So I did a very simple Google search, and we all probably are associated with Google's autofill capability. So I typed in two things. I typed in the words millennials are, and over here, I typed in the word Generation Z are. And if you look at the response, millennials are screwed, millennials are lazy, millennials are ruining, millennials are broke, millennials are entitled, millennials are weak, millennials are spoiled. That's what people are searching for, or the returns they're getting. Gen Z, Generation Z are lazy, they're not millennials, they're stupid, they're doomed, they're screwed, okay? So that tells you what people are looking for in their searches. This is what we as a society are contributing to. So then I thought, well, I wonder what they're saying about my generation. So I typed it in. Generation X is?
Tired.
Wow. The best? Known for which of the following? What age? Tired? Issues? There's not near as many negatives associated with Generation X, and I didn't include baby boomers. We'll talk about that in a second. But just look at what we're doing. We're searching for things like millennials are lazy. And then I wonder what I'll find if I type this in. Because I know I need to feed my own belief, right? So you have to separate that and look at what the data says. So the purpose of this is to talk about our current student generation, which is Gen Z or Generation Z, those born 95 or after. We have a few in the room. But this is what you're going to be dealing with in your athletic training rooms, maybe in your starting your professional programs, and now starting in their jobs as well. So there's 72 million as of 2015. They are now the largest portion of the population. So we have to deal with them. Okay, if you look at the breakdown, it's 2005, almost 26% of the population is Gen Z. They just passed the millennials. Gen X is a smaller age group, so they're a little smaller in population. We have our baby boomers, which some people break that out into two. We have maybe heard of Generation Jones, but baby boomers essentially are the overall group. And then we have our silent generation as well. So they're here, they're here to stay. If you're a Gen Z currently, wait about 20 years, you'll have things to say about the new generation, which they think will be Generation I, because of iPads and iPhones, but give it time. So we're talking about people from about age 4 to approximately 22 now, okay? So up to college seniors. So again, entering professional programs, entering the workforce, as well as anybody effectively in school. So some characteristics of Gen Z. This is what the surveys find. This isn't what from hard science with psychological that's been put through scientific testing of the surveys, but they survey large amounts of people and ask what things are important to you. So some of the things that come out. Gen Z wants to be in the know at every moment. So they look to social media because that's the most rapid information. Think about reading a newspaper the next day or getting the information that very moment as it happens, as it breaks on Twitter. Okay? Attention spans last about 8 seconds. That's not a bad thing because millennials, their attention span was only about 11 seconds. So obviously there's a trend downward, but it's not like it went from an hour to 8 seconds. There is a slight downward trend. Because of this, they need rapid amounts of information. They spend an average of 7.6 hours a day socializing with friends and family, either in person or online. And they check social media 100 times a day. So if you break it out for this most simple math, in a 16-hour day, that's 6.25 times per hour, or approximately every 10 minutes. But realistically, there's certain parts of the time, the day, that they just can't do that. They're showering, they're driving, so that actually that every 10 minutes is even more than that, because it's really not 16 hours. By the time you take out times when they don't have access to the phone, it's probably, you know, get down to 14 hours. So that becomes every 7 or 8 minutes they check social media on average. Okay? This is what was really frustrating to me, or not frustrating, eye-opening. 80% of Gen Z reports feeling distressed when they are away from their electronic devices. Why is that important for us? Because if you tell them no phones while you're in the athletic training room, guess what's happening? 8 out of 10 of them are physically agitated, and they're having a very low level of mental stress. So they want to check it, and they're agitated, and then you might be asked to do things. They might say, well, I'll go in the closet, and I'll go clean the closet. What do? They go in the closet, and they check their phone real quick. Because they have to do that. It's not a characteristic they learned. They have had it at all times. That was one of the things that woke me, or I woke up to, was seeing that this is all natural to them. When you're telling them they can't have their phones, that's not something they're used to. So they become agitated or mentally stressed over that. Okay, so it's things to think about for us supervising, which we'll get to as well. 96% of them own a smartphone in the U.S. They use their phone more than they watch TV. If you're a Gen Xer or maybe an early millennial, what do we get picked on? All you do is watch TV all day. Well, there's no more of that. Now it's all you're doing is on your phone all day. Okay? They spend greater than three hours a day using computers for purposes other than schoolwork. So they're socializing, they're talking to friends, they're watching videos, things like that. 50% of Gen Z will be connected to the internet for 10 hours a day or more. It occurs through what they call the 5 screens available to them. They have their smartphones, they have TVs, they have laptops, they have desktop computers, and they have tablets. So it's very hard for them to get away from this technology, so they check it because it's there. 1/3 of Gen Z watches an hour of video a day. Okay? 30% of them, almost the same amount, watch 2 hours of video a day, and then 1 in 5 will watch 3 hours or more of video per day on their 5 screens. So in other words, 80% of Generation Z watches at least an hour of video a day. So that makes you think, when they're away from their phone, somebody might text them, did you see such and such? They want to go see that on their phone. Well, they can't do that because we're limiting access to their phones. That contributes to their overall stress levels. Okay, so you see this, you see this picture, but how many of us do that as well that are not Gen Z? How many of you in here, in between speakers, pull out your phone? How many of you walking from your car to here wanted to check your email? And that's one of those screens. It's not critical, it's just saying how many of us do this. So it's not just Gen Z, it's just that the data is showing that they do it at a much higher level because that's what they're used to. So this is my favorite part. Where did this all come from? Okay? Well, we know where millennials came from. Millennials were raised by baby boomers who are labeled as those cranky, change-hating micromanagers. And everybody uses the example of, think if you know about Steve Jobs, he was very particular, very specific, and said, this is what we're doing. And so that raised the baby boomers. I'm sorry, that raised the millennials. But then the real punch in the gut for me came here. When I read a very interesting article about Gen Z is being raised by Gen Xers. So any complaints I have about this group, about how they're on their phones, well, guess who's raising them to be the way they are? It's my generation. Okay, we grew up as this small, remember we hate everybody and everything, grow up in the post-Watergate, post-Vietnam funk of the 70s, when everybody said, oh, your horizons are unlimited, but guess what? We grew up in a time when interest rates were not. So we had this kind of clothing, but our parents were dealing with this kind of stuff. Talking about save your money. Don't waste your money on certain things because you never know. This was 1981, interest rates were 17%. Now they're 3%, 4%, and 5%. So we're raising these individuals to protect against this, okay? So we were latchkey kids, so we came home to an empty house because both parents were working. So we had to sometimes make our own food, things like that. We grew up on Nirvana records and Saved by the Bell in our own house, empty house. So we're trying to protect our kids from having to do those same things. So what you see is parents being very protective of their kids. Does that sound familiar? Hopefully, maybe it does. Okay, we're trying to give them the security that we didn't have as kids. So we want to make sure we're there for them and we're at all their games. You know, we're cheering them on. We're giving them the best equipment to play their sports and things like that. Somebody yells at them, what are we going to do? We're going to go protect them. So don't yell at my kid. Gen X parents were also more likely to have Gen Z kids at a later age. Okay? So the chance to conceive becomes more difficult as an individual ages. So guess what? When they had a baby, it was their miracle child. Nobody will harm this precious child of mine that I had at a later age. It was difficult to have. And so that brings up what we now know as things like helicopter parents. And it also brings up things like this. Bad grade in the 60s? Kid, what are you doing wrong? Bad grade now? Teacher, what's going on? Why is my kid getting a bad grade? And it's because these parents are very protective of these kids. One, to protect them from the situation of they were from anything bad happening to them, to their little miracle child, but also to protect them from having a self-sufficient lifestyle that the parents have. So something for us in here when we're supervising maybe student athletic trainers or maybe somebody in your program or starting your first job, what do they need to be supervised? Okay? They require a remedial effort on broad skill things like work habits, interpersonal communication, okay? Critical thinking. So you have to go down a level lower than what you might have had to with maybe the millennial generation, because things like text, as you can see, this is how they communicate, all right? So we have to teach them about complete sentences and drafting a professional email and things like that. Gen Z is very unfamiliar with things like established timelines. So we say get to work or get to the office or whatever, 8 o'clock. To most of Gen Z, that means 8-ish, 8:15 is okay. Well, I said 8 o'clock, where are you at? And we're frustrated with them because they think that, or they seem like they're lazy and don't care. They just haven't had that before. They haven't had those established boundaries. So it's a generational conflict that arises. So again, that's what this talk is for, is to make you understand that they have the reason. They're not just doing it to spite you necessarily. Okay, hopefully not. But you may have to spend some time on doing things like sit down and talk. Okay, when I say 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, it means this time. We're expecting you to be here. Okay? When you draft an email, it's not in text form. You write out the word to. You don't use the number. Okay? Gen Z does respond very well to high-intensity relationships, so one-on-one or a very strong peer leader is good. If you give a group assignment and nobody's in charge, you will have a poor return on that assignment, okay? So establish a group leader, tell them this person's in charge, and there tends to be a better response to that, okay? Use teaching style leadership. So don't dictate, educate is what you will see. Explain to them why it's going on. You may not like it, and yes, when I was a student, we didn't have, doesn't matter. When you were a student, people older than you were saying the same things about you. So it all comes full circle. Okay, consider integrating social media into your setting. So maybe communicate via Instagram, whatever. At U of H, we are only allowed to communicate via email. That's our official communication with students and peers. And some of the students, we've had emails that 2 days later, we get the little, we'll do what we call a red receipt to see when they open it. It's like 2 days later, because that's not what they're used to. But it comes around eventually. Gen Z is responsive to defined work in exchange for calibrated rewards. And this isn't, yes, you've heard, okay, everyone gets a prize. That is associated with this generation. There's nothing we can do about it. Okay, but as a supervisor, it incentivizes you on how to get things done. It may be once the athletic training room is clean, your reward is everybody gets to go home. Not a physical ribbon or, you know, an award, but reward them for doing something, and that will more likely help it get done because that's what they're used to. Okay? Gen Z finds benefits in flexible work opportunities. Okay? Revolving schedule. Do you have to be there every day at 5 a.m. to open the athletic training room, or can you come in? Would it be better to have an individual come in at 5 a.m. one day, 11 a.m. the next day? Somebody else comes at 5 a.m. Another one is if it's possible, especially in the work environment, if you have a lot of administrative work, they respond very well to the opportunity to do work at home. If they're coming to the office to fill out records, can they take those records home the night before and work till noon at home getting the same job done? Okay, and the way some people look at it is if you're driving an hour to work and then you drive an hour home, that's 2 hours of work you could get done if you stayed at home. But there's some stigma about, well, you have to be seen at work to be truly working, right? Is there any difference between working, getting the same job done at home in the same amount of time, maybe 2 hours earlier because you didn't have drive time? So think about that as well. Understand their wired environment allows for instant gratification, which leads to frustration if they don't get the answer instantly, okay? Supervisors also understand that Gen Z is accustomed to new technology. They have a low tolerance for individuals who do not quickly grasp the ever-changing infrastructure. Does that hit home, maybe? Ever had students that bring you a new app and you're like, I don't understand, what is this? Never, just forget about it, never mind, right? Because this isn't everybody, but it's the overriding character, one of the overriding characteristics is they get frustrated if you can't figure things out quickly that they bring to you to show you. Okay, so what that means is maybe use that. Have your students look for new apps that may be beneficial to your practice. Okay, or maybe a new sportswear or whatever injury tracking system comes out, you want to use that. Have them go through it and learn it and then teach you. Instead of you trying to figure it out, they may be quicker at it. Okay, maybe they can teach you something new. Maybe there's a new piece of equipment. While you get a new STEM machine in and you're trying to play with it and they're just like, oh, would you just move out of the way, let me do it. You're like, no, I gotta figure this out. Let them do it, and then let them teach you, because that may be something they latch onto, is the ability to use that new technology. With work expectations, this is interesting. Okay, if we look across the change from the traditionalists, which is the silent and the greatest generation, and the baby boomers, the Gen X, and the Gen Z from the business workplace, if you look at things like attire, the traditionalists, they want formal attire, no matter what the job is, realistically, any office job, okay? A baby boomer is like, I'll go with business casual, but at the high end. Gen X, business casual at the low end. Generation Y and Z, or the millennials and the Z, we're like, whatever's comfortable. Work, I mean, I get the job done, right? So what does it matter what I wear? Okay, if you look at the work environment, traditionalists, you need to be at the office doing your work, okay? You look at the baby boomer, I want to work as long as possible, as long as it takes to get the job done. Your executive types. Generation X, a little more freedom in their schedule. And then the Gen Z is office when necessary, but home if possible. Okay? Client orientation, and this is really client communication. Traditionalists believe in personal contact. I want to meet you. Okay? Baby boomers believe in the telephone. I don't have to meet you, but I'm at least talk to you on the phone. Generation X, they believe email is acceptable communication. And then we all know what millennials and Gen Z, right? It's not Facebook. Facebook's more of a millennial thing. Gen Z is more of a Snapchat. And if you don't have Snapchat, it's like, well, how are we supposed to talk to them? How am I going to contact them? No. And so you have to understand that, again, it's frustrating because why would you seriously want to talk on Instant Messenger versus a phone call? They don't think that way because they don't meet new people that way. So when you tell them you want to meet them, want to meet somebody, that's where the conflict comes in. Okay, so you have to accept that there are generational differences. Don't get frustrated. Try and learn them and utilize them to help your practice. Okay, adapt or conform within reason. So how much do you give in to your students' way versus how much do you expect them to conform to your rules? Okay, there are times when, yes, we don't want everybody on the phone in the athletic training room. So I don't want phones in the athletic training room, but you have to understand that's going to cause some agitation, some frustration with some of the students. Okay? What's acceptable versus what's professional? Clothing is a big issue. Okay, if you come in slacks and a polo shirt, is that any different than a student that comes in wearing mesh shorts and a t-shirt with tennis shoes on versus mesh short, t-shirt, and flip-flops on? Where do you draw the line at? So establish that. What is really necessary versus what is best for them to help them do a good job versus what helps represents your practice as well. So last thing is about teaching them. So we've talked about supervising them. How do you teach them to help your practice as well? Be very timely with your guidance. So they need instant feedback. Remember, when they do a task, they need to know how they did on it. Versus let them do a bunch of tasks and then you'll talk to them about it tomorrow. They need to know how they did and that will help them respond better. So the closer the guidance happens, the better for the student. Avoid the older style, which is, here, go look at this guy's knee and tell him what you get. You're like, what do you want me to do? Just figure it out. That's very frustrating for them because they need very concrete steps involved with that as well. Be brief and succinct. Give guidance very quickly after a task. Tell them how they did. It's fine to correct them. It's fine to give them constructive criticism, but do it quickly so they learn. Okay? This is straight from the research. So it's been shown that it's actually beneficial. Try and limit your talk or your feedback or the task to one at a time instead of giving them 10 things to do and then giving them kind of a massive overall feedback. It's more work for you, but in the long run, it's going to pay off. It's going to have less overall work over time as well. Be inquisitive when you ask for feedback. So instead of just saying, okay, here's what you did wrong, ask them in your quick feedback. Do you know why we were doing this? Do you understand why I had you do this? Get their feedback from them. If they don't understand, then you teach them. What's the challenge here? How can I help you? What was the most valuable or useful thing for you here? To give that quickly, and that will help in the long run, help them understand and associate what that task is trying to accomplish. Okay? More than any of the current generation, Generation Z learns by observation and practice. And this is another punch in the gut. They don't learn by reading or listening to PowerPoint presentations. So now I have to figure out how I'm going to instruct them better because I have all my PowerPoints ready, but now I got to change to something else. So if you tell them, go read up on this, let me know tomorrow how we're going to do it, that's more difficult for them than it has been for previous, including maybe your generation that did learn that way, where you took a book home, read up on it, come back and you applied it. And then maybe it was trial and error. They don't respond to that as well. They want to know. They want to look for a YouTube video. Find a YouTube video for them. This is what it's supposed to look like when you do it right. If it doesn't look like that, let's figure out what's going differently for you. Be prepared to demonstrate the task. Again, we've all heard, we've all been sent off to do something. Say, here's what I want you to do. Go figure it out. How are you going to do it? Demonstrate it to them the first time. Show them the right way to do it. And then it goes back to reading up on this is not going to be really successful for you. You can do it, but you'll probably have less positive response than if you actually demonstrate and had them interactive with them. Okay, this is also interesting. Okay, their ability to retrieve information is outstanding. It's higher than it's been with any other generation. Okay, the problem is their ability to validate that information is somewhat lacking. Okay, so they can tell you what they found. Well, I read this on the internet. Okay, well, the problem is we heard, you know, the term fake news comes in. And even in, you know, with, you know, who gets injured with ACLs more often, males or females? Well, I read this on the internet, it was males. Well, if you counter that, if they bring that to you and you counter that, they say, well, that's just what I read. There's no real validation. Where did you get that from? What source did you use? Who said that? And so you have to spend more time on teaching them how to validate the right information. Okay, understand that teaching them the difference between Wikipedia or Google versus the scientific databases such as Google Scholar. Wikipedia or blogs versus a Google Scholar or a PubMed search, where the actual medical science research is. And also, you have to know your facts about something to be able to refute them if it's necessary. So what this is saying is don't necessarily rely on them to bring you new information because you want to be able to make sure you can check to see if it's valid or not and be ready to refute them if necessary and then make it a teaching moment as well. So think about it. Based on this dynamic difference we've had, okay, so if you have somebody that you say, I know the person you need for this job, Okay, depending on the person you want, to a mature silent would always have been, where do I find this individual? I want to meet them. Okay? To a baby boomer, they would say, well, can I have their, do you have their phone number? To a Gen Xer, do you have their email address? I'll email them. To a millennial, it's going to be, where are they on Facebook? I'll find them on Facebook. I'll do my research that way. Okay? And then to a Gen Z, it's, do they have Snapchat? And you're like, Snap, what? And so that's all they, not all, but that's what they're used to communicating with. And so you have to have this understanding of the technology when you have this, that you see the change, the dynamics of how this has changed over time as well. Okay, and also think about it too. We're all guilty of this a little bit. Remember, Gen Z is born and grown up in the time that we're used to, right? So they've always known having a smartphone. They've always known about texting. So think about it. How many of you still leave post-it notes telling your family where you're at? Okay? A couple of you do. Okay, you're killing my joke here. But most time you send a text. So we don't really do a lot of this. How many of you write cursive anymore? Okay, good. How many of you still use a rotary phone versus your cell phone? How many of you switch from a rotary to a dot? Because the technology changed, right? So we adapted to that. We're changing and we're somewhat involved in this. They've always been in it. So go show a Gen Z that phone and tell them you need to make an emergency call and see what happens. Okay, you'll get to the 10th number and you'll jam it and it won't go and you gotta start all over. Okay, how many of you still use Walkmans versus MP3 players? Okay, how many of you still pay cash at the toll booth versus Easy Tags? Okay, don't worry. Okay. All right, dial radio. So I can easily say how many of you listen to FM radio still versus satellite, okay? Times change. How many of you still read a newspaper every morning versus read it on the internet? You wait a day for the news, okay? And this one's a personal, how many of you don't know how to read an analog clock? Because I got a cool story on that one about some high school, private school that I told them, quick story, I told them, they said, what time do we need to be out there? I said, 7:45, and they looked at the clock, they're like, I don't know how to read that. And I thought it was a joke. And then the whole room was dead silent. And then nobody knew how to read an analog clock. So, but that's not, I had to sneak that in somehow. So, anyway, I have references. And if you're in Gen X, you understand the irony of that picture right there. Okay? I'm not an expert, but if you have any questions, I'll try and answer them. If not, yes. Does everybody get that? This is your brain. This is your brain when drugs. Any questions? From the 80s, 1980s? Yes.
Anybody have any questions for Mark? Mark, Brad Brown's question is, do your master students, will they agree that you adhere to all this?
Yes. The PowerPoint, I know they're gonna say that I do too much. And
it's always blue.
It's always gotta be blue. Blue's a calming, relaxing color. So. Dr. Lowe does red, which is ironic, because that's very aggravating. He's the boss.
We had a question for Mark.
Oh, no, I didn't know what the egg was.
This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions? That commercial was on every after-school special for years.